السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا يوافي نعمه يكافي مزيده. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وعلماء أمته وعلينا معهم أجمعين. اللهم إنا نستهديك لأرشد أمرنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا. So when Mufti Abdullah Hafizullah Ta'ala asked me to teach, obviously I didn't realize it'd be on the day of Arafah, and I know many of you are fasting and many of you are wanting to sleep, and many of us are sat in the dark. I'm supposed to read in the dark, bro. But alhamdulillah, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's given us the strength to sit here after Asr in this blessed day of the most blessed days of the year. Jazakumullah khairan. In these blessed times of the most blessed time of the year, to learn about Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To correct our thoughts and our intellect regarding Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great ni'mah from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That from the sifat of the Muslims is ilm, is knowledge of the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are the last ummah, we are the last nation sent with true understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other nation has true understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so to sit here with the introduction, a very basic text that in reality is for children, but like I said yesterday, we're all children. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, today is going to be, out of the remaining sessions, today will be the most technical that we're going to get. It's easy, don't panic, but it's the most technical we'll get today, because this is an introduction into aqidah. And like I mentioned yesterday, when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the ulama talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they talk about in aqidah, they talk about what's necessary for Him, what's impossible for Him, and what's possible for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to understand what's necessary, what's impossible, and what's possible, we must define those words. Because if I said to you, by way of example, I literally just prayed Asr in Arafah now, and I just got here, but the car park was full, so I missed the first rak'ah. All of you would look at me and say, this guy's crazy. That's impossible for you to do that. Which is true. But when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not the impossible that we're talking about with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This impossible of me praying on Arafah, Asr of today, and being with you now, and only missing the first rak'ah because the car park was full, it's not my fault, then that is impossible. But it's normally impossible. What they call mustahil adatan. Normally impossible. Because we believe and we hold true and certain without doubt, and it's our iman because it's in the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca, prayed in Bayt al-Maqdis, raised through the seven heavens, went beyond creation, spoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without intermediary, came back and was not missed from Mecca Mukarramah in less than a blink of an eye. Some of them say that if you would try to find him, you wouldn't have missed him. In a moment. That's what we call kharq al-ada, breaking the norm, which is what's in nomenclature of the Muslims, mu'jiza, and horribly translated into English as a miracle. Okay? So when we say something's impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that. So what is it? We'll discuss that today. Okay? Because we say it's rationally impossible, not normally impossible. Okay? And this is, like I said, the importance of defining words. Defining things. So we'll start the book first. We'll start with what our author starts with. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So I mentioned that we're going to be reading the short treatise of Imam Ibrahim al-Bajuri, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And all of our books of the ulama, or 90% of them, would start with the basmala, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the especially merciful. That's how I translate Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because as we know, Ar-Rahman, the ulama say, with Jala'il al-Ni'am. Those huge blessings that all of creation shares. Of that blessing is the blessing of existence. So a kafir exists, a Muslim exists. And then Ar-Rahim, the specifically, the specially merciful, that's with Daqa'iq al-Ni'am. Those subtle blessings like iman, and that's specifically for the believers. And it's interesting to note that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taking dominion of creation, he uses his name Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. That Ar-Rahman, the all-merciful, took dominion of the arsh. And what is the arsh? The arsh is the largest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation that encompasses all of creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressing to his creation his jalala, his dominion over all, chose the name Ar-Rahman. He didn't say Al-Muntaqim. He didn't say Al-Khafid. He didn't say Al-Qahhar. He could have said those names. He could have used those names of himself. What did he use? Ar-Rahman. To show us that all of creation is encompassed with his mercy. Whether we expose ourselves to those nafahat, those breezes of mercy or not, that's another topic. So the ulama, they start the books usually with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Why? The Quran starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And so following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama start their books and their gatherings with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Also, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِي بَالٍ لَمْ يُبْدَأُ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ فَهُوَ أَقْطَعُ أَوْ أَبْطَرُ أَوْ أَجْزَمُ. Different riwayat, that every affair of worth that doesn't start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's cut off. Cut off from what? Some say cut off from acceptance. Some say cut off from the mercy, from the barakah. But the important point is that we start every action with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And also, the Imam Bajuri says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Why? So he did, secondly, in the Arabic, unfortunately, I don't know what's up on the book, page 2. There you go. Back. So in the Arabic, page 3, the editor of this book, he forgot to put Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the top of the page. But anyway, I'll try not to point out all the mistakes. So he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises are to Allah, Lord of the Worlds. So secondly, starting with what's called Alhamdulillah, right? All praises to Allah. Why? Because the Quran secondly has what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So again, following the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the hadith that I just narrated from our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's another riwayah that says, Kullu amrin dhi balim lam yubda'u bi alhamdulillah. Every action of worth that isn't started by praising Allah at the beginning, then it's cut off. There's other riwayahs with the dhikr of Allah. There's other riwayahs which are weaker, but with the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. And that's why the ulama, what do they say? And we'll see, he says what? وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He's translated it here as may prayers, which is not wrong, but the ulama mention that salah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الرَّحْمَ مَقْرُونَةً بِالتَّعْظِيمِ. It's mercy coupled with extolling. So I translate it as extolling mercy. That's the salah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know in the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. So this ayah, Allah is sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are salawat from Allah? This extolling mercy. And then he says, wassalam, and the peace, the greeting of peace upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be showered on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in another narration, and this is also the beauty of our deen, that the ulama, they mention that kullu al-a'mali bayna al-raddi wal-kabool. Everybody's actions are between being rejected or accepted by Allah. Allah does what He wills. لا يسأل أما يفعل. Allah is not asked about what He does. So all of our actions are between being accepted or rejected. إلا الصلاة على سيد الرسول. Except our salawat, or the beautiful word in Urdu, Durood Sharif, sent upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that. Why? That's His beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ulama mentioned, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani mentions, even in a state of ghafla, even in a state that we're not even thinking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a true manner that he deserves, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, even that's accepted. So the ulama mentioned, this is from the adab of dua, that we start by praising Allah, then we send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We send durood sharif on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I love that Urdu has a special word just for that. That's a sign of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a word just for that. It's so beautiful. So we start our du'as with salawat, and we end them with salawat. And then inshallah, Allah is too merciful to not accept what's between the two. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَبَعْدْ. As to what follows, says the remiss one in need of the mercy of the omniscient and all-seeing Lord, in Al-Khabir. Al-Khabir is obviously one of the names relating to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we'll talk about later, from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Al-Ilm, knowledge, and meaning that Allah knows all. And all-seeing, another one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-basar, that Allah sees all that is in existence. Allah knows all, that which is in existence, that which is not in existence, that which could be in existence, that which will never be in existence, that which might be in existence in terms of us. Allah knows all. If it was in existence, what would it be like? If it wasn't like it was, what would it be like? Allah knows all. And we'll talk about that. Whereas basir, seeing, Allah sees all that exists. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, the remiss one, faqir. Right? That's how the ulama talk about themselves. Al-muftaqir ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mudhnib, al-da'if. This is how the ulama talk about themselves. And if you see a scholar, and he doesn't, who claims to be an alim or a scholar, and you have to put 16 titles before his name before you can introduce him, from him, he says, make sure you put this and make sure you put, know that there's something wrong there. Because the ulama, they are the ones that have the most knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means they have the most knowledge of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfection of ubudiyyah, of slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama mentioned that his most greatest name is Abdullah, because he is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, the remiss one in need of the mercy of his omniscient and all-seeing Lord Ibrahim al-Bajuri informs that a brother, may Allah reform him and me, asked me to write for him a good treatise dealing with the attributes of the Lord and the antithesis, yani the opposites. What is permissible for him, Most High, and what are the attributes that are rationally necessary for the divine messengers, al-Rusul? What attributes are rationally possible for them, and what attributes are rationally impossible for them? Is that me doing that? So apologies to the people listening at home. I keep making you jump, but I don't know what's going on with this thing. So I undertook this effort to comply with his request, and all enabling grace, yani tawfiq, belongs to Allah. So seeking his aid, I declare. Also, there's a part missing in the Arabic there. But don't worry about it. So, Bismillah. He says, Rahimullah Ta'ala, every accountable soul, yani kullu mukallaf. We talked about yesterday, what is a mukallaf? A mukallaf, in aqidah terminology, is every sane, baligh human being, and obviously from the jinn as well, for those that are attending. I got gripped in the old masjid, don't even start me on that one. So every sane, baligh, yani one that's reached puberty, they must know this. And so just like with salah, what did the Prophet advise us about our children with salah? Muru awladakum bis salati wa hum abna' sab'a. Order your children to pray and they're 7 years old, lunar years. A boy and a girl can't become baligh at seven. The earliest for a girl is 9 according to the fuqaha. The earliest for a boy is 12 according to the fuqaha. So before they become adults, before they reach the age of taklif, of legal responsibility, the Prophet ﷺ has ordered us to order them to pray. So by extension, if we're ordered to order our children to pray at seven, we must teach them who they're praying to. We must teach them who is Allah. And as we'll see, who isn't Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must equip their rationale, because now this has reached the age, what they call the sin tamyiz, right? The age of differentiation, you could loosely translate it as. Meaning what? That now they start their intellects, and anyone who's a father knows, especially if you're a father of girls or boys. Girls, their intellects start to kick in normally towards the end of the 6th year, the 7th year. Boys, around 30, 35 years, I'm joking. And he boys a little bit later, right? A little bit later. But around that age, 7 lunar years, 8 lunar years, the intellect starts to develop so they can now understand concepts. Whereas before, it's all about me, I want, me, give me, right? I'm teaching them to accept no. Right, Omar? Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ ordered us at this time, now their intellects have developed, teach them to pray. So, teach them who they're praying to. And the Prophet ﷺ continues in the hadith, like I mentioned, I think last time I came in the morning. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَبْنَاءَ أَشْعَرَ. And then, we're in England, discipline them when, if on the prayer when they are 10 years old. Because why? You've had 3 years, if we've done our jobs as parents, the mother and the father and the society, we've had 3 years of training them to pray 5 times a day. Now, if they're 10 and they're still not praying, there's something, the child needs a little bit more discipline. No? And also, the Prophet ﷺ continues with فَرِّغْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَضَاجِعِ. Right? Separate their sleeping quarters. Separate them in their sleeping quarters. They shouldn't be sharing beds anymore once they reach 10 years old. Before that, head to toe, you know, whatever. But after, when they reach 10, now for a girl, like I said, she could be a woman now. 9 years old, she could start her hayd, according to the fuqaha. And so they should be separated. So again, that's related to salah. But here, because he says ala kulli mukallaf, every legally responsible person. That's why we went on that thing, because they must know this. So this masjid should be filled with 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds as well. Inshallah, you'll take this home and teach this at home, inshallah. And for those at home, this is important. So he says what? Yajibu. So I'm going to use the board. I don't know how this is going to work when I use the board, but hopefully this will work. So why? Because we have something that the ulama have explained, which are the three ahkam. So what is a hukam? So we're going to translate it just to keep it in English as ruling. We have three rulings. We have legal, shar'i. We have normative. Excuse my handwriting, my mom said I should have been a doctor. So we have legal, shar'i, normative, hukam adi, which we've talked about a minute ago. And then we have what? Rational. Looks like I'm tagging, doesn't it? So, aqli. So we've got hukum shar'i, legal rulings, hukum adi, normative rulings, hukum aqli, rational rulings. Briefly, what is a legal ruling? A legal ruling is ithbatu amrin li amrin aw nafyu anhu biwasitati shar' shari', establishing one affair for another. I'm not going to write this down because it will take up a lot of time. But for those that are making notes, maybe you can share it with people also. Establishing one affair for another or negating it from it by means of the legislator. Example will make it easy. What is the ruling of 5 daily prayers? 5 salah. What's Sharia-wise, what's its ruling? Nafil? Fard. So, ithbatu amrin li amrin. We've established fard for 5 daily prayers. How? How do we know we have to pray 5 times a day? Allah ordered it through His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, how? What's the means of the legal rulings? Shara' shara'. Right? The legislation of the legislator. Right? The shari' haqiqatan, the real shari', the one who gives us our laws, is Allah. Majazan, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So you read in the books, they'll say a shari' and they'll mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or sometimes they'll say a shari' and they'll mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So that's legal rulings. Easy. Establishing one thing for another. So by way of example, establishing that it's fard to pray 5 times a day. Legal rulings. Okay? Hajj. We're in the month of Hajj. Right? For those people that have the monetary capability, the physical capability, and the safety of the way, etc., etc., it's fard. How do we know that? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So if you look in the book, he says, where's it gone? It is obliged, is obliged. Right? Yajibu. If you look in the Arabic, it's on the next page. Please and thank you. He says, yajibu ala. Right? Yajibu. So it's necessary upon every legal responsible person. This wajib is here, right? Yajib, wajaba yajibu, wujuban, fahuwa wajib, wadaka. Yalla, come on, where's your dargar for life, not just for madrasa? So, okay, so this is what it means here. It's wajib on us, shara'an, legally, to know this aqidah. Okay? When we come here, we're going to talk about a different wajib. Okay? Just so you know. So it's legally, we know that through fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. Right? We know it through, what's the ayah? Allahumma salli ala al-habib. We'll come to it in a moment. We'll come to it. I don't want to waste any more time. So here, this is the legal ruling of studying aqidah to know the attributes of Allah with a basic rational proof, wajib. Right? Meaning fardi ayn. As you know, yajib and fard, the wajib and fard, they're interchangeable. Normative ruling. Okay. إثبات ربط بين أمر وأمر وجودا أو عدما بواسطة التكرار مع صحة التخلف وعدم التأثير الواحد في الآخر البتة. فهمت؟ تمام. Next one. I'm only joking. Okay, so establishing an affair or a link between one affair and another, existent or non-existent, by means of repetition, with the permissibility of it not happening and no effect in reality on one on the other. I'll give you an example. Everybody will understand. Fire. Not calling out fire. It's an example. Fire. We know normally fire burns. Right? Normally fire burns. Rationally speaking, does it have to burn? We have no. Correct. I'm glad you're in my class. Okay? So it doesn't have to burn. Why? What's the proof? Come on, Muslims. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Normally fire burns. That's why it says ma' sihhati at-takhalluf. Right? With the establishing a link between one affair and another. So fire and burning. We've established that link between fire and burning. How? بالتكرار. Every time we've seen fire, we get close to it, we get burnt. Or anything that's flammable that goes to fire with no mani, with no barrier, they get burnt. So that's repetition. But it's permissible that it might not happen. And this is why when you teach your children this, make sure you tell them that this is wajib adatan. Right? For those of you who understand Arabic. It's necessary to happen, meaning fire burn, normally. Right? Otherwise, you'll come home, a'udhu billah, and the child set fire to the front room, and he said, well, Dawud said that, you know, it doesn't have to burn, so I just thought I'd check it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this whole world with these normative actions that happen. Water quenching a thirst doesn't have to. It's Allah that creates that. Food satiating our hunger. I won't talk about too much about water and food because I know lots of us are fasting. So it doesn't have to. Okay? Clothing covering our nakedness doesn't have to. Not seeing through solid objects, it being a barrier, that's all normative. Because we know the jinn can just walk through anything. And we believe that as Muslims, right? We're not talking about scientists now. That's another discussion of a much higher level. But I'm talking to Muslims here. So we're believers to start with. But this, you can argue this is science. It's normally this happens. So when it happens, repetition, we've established that fire burns. Okay? There's a lot more to discuss there, but in the interest of... So here, what's it called? Hukam Adi. What did I say a miracle's called in Arabic? There's two, the two-worded one. The idafa. No, mu'jiza is one word. The idafa, the siga bil idafa. Kharq al-ada. Whoever said that, jazakallahu khayna. Kharq al-ada, breaking the norm. So when we talk about miracles, mu'jizat, or karamat for the awliya, because we're Ahlus Sunnah, we believe in karamat, this is what we're talking about. Breaking the norm. So, as Muslims from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say, Allah creates the fire, and Allah creates the effect of the fire. Allah creates the fire, and Allah creates the effect of the fire. And Imam Sanusi, inshallah maybe later we can study another book together, the second level of Aqidah. Imam Sanusi mentions, when we said, wujudan aw adaman in the definition, existent or non-existent, I'll give you an example. If I eat food, that's an existent thing. And I'm satiated, that's an existent thing. So, ithbatu rabtin bayna amrin wa amrin wujudan aw adaman, establishing a link between two existent things. Food, satiation. Bittakrar. Every time I eat enough, I'm satiated. Okay? Then Adam, I have no satiation. Why? Because I have no food. This is all normative rulings. As we know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Rabbi yut'imuni wa yasqin. He wasn't like us in the sense of, like he said in many ahadith, man minkum mithli. So he said that my Lord creates that satiation without the normal means for our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for others. Any miracle, any mu'jiza of the Prophet, except the wahi, is a karama for the awliya. We believe that in Ahlul Sunnah. And so here, normative ruling is related to that. So a miracle is related to breaking the norm. Okay? So it's not an impossible thing. Like I said, I just prayed my asr, Arafah, and I missed the first rakat because the car park was full. That's a normative rule. It didn't happen, just in case people think I'm some wali or anything like that. I'm a wali in the English terminology, but not in the Arabic terminology. Now, so normative ruling, okay? Now, what we're going to be dealing with for the rest of this course, rational rulings. So rational rulings, again, establishing an affair for another, ithbatu amrin li amrin, aw nafyu anhu, la biwasitati shara shari' wa la bitakrar. Establishing an affair for another, not by means of the legislator, and not by means of repetition, and it's going to split into three. We have necessary, is that an E? Necessary, we have impossible, and we have possible. Okay? Is that the right spelling? Tell me. Or is it C double S, right? C double S. Let's do that. Yalla. That's correct. Wajib. Okay? Or wujub. So here, what's the definition of wajib? A simple one is that which does not accept non-existence. Simple definition. مَا لَا يَقْبُلَ الْعَدَمْ لِذَاتِهِ. Where is he? That which does not accept non-existence in and of itself. Can't find where he is. He was telling me not to use that word today. In and of itself. Someone that studied with me before, I used to use that word a lot. So, لِذَاتِهِ. So, I give you an example. This is related to the rational. Remember, aqidah is related to the intellect. So, مَا لَا يَقْبُلَ الْعَدَمْ لِذَاتِهِ. That which doesn't accept non-existence in and of itself. A body, a physical body taking up space. What they say in Arabic? تحيز الجسم. ولو موهوما. Even if it's imagined. So if I say to you, imagine a stone. Imagine a rock, a huge boulder. Even that imagined rock is taking up imaginary space. Okay? So this is rationally necessary. Or an existent thing, fil kharij. What do the ulama say when they say fil kharij? Any outside of the mind, so not mathematics. An existent thing, a part of it, it's necessary rationally to be smaller than its whole. Okay, now it's gone a bit quiet. All your faces are going, what? Not all of you, but some of you. Okay? So, a part of something that is existent outside of the mind. So here I'm not talking about mathematics, because mathematics, you can do magic with mathematics. You can do all kinds of sihr. Right? I'm serious. You look in the books. But anyway, that's another topic. N-E-S-A-S-S-A-R-A-Y. So, a part, if you imagine, you're all fasting, so welcome to my world. This is a pizza, okay? Forgive me. This is a slice of a pizza. Okay? If I take that slice away and put it here, imagine it's the same thing, right? Now, when I talked about rational rulings, we said, the other definition is ما لا يتصور في العقل عدمه. That which cannot be conceived in the mind as being non-existent. But here the problem is when we use the word al-aql, and in English, mind. It doesn't mean mine and your minds. Rational ruling doesn't relate to an individual, right? As we see, one add one is necessarily two, or half of two in whole numbers is necessarily one, rationally. I can't come to you and say 3 and 3 today is 17, right? You say, Dawood, you've lost your mind, right? Even my son's laughing at me, right? Okay, so here, this part, if you conceptualize what is part, and they say, yutasawwar here, meaning idraq tasdiqi, for the ulama in the room, is yutasawwar here, la yutasawwar fil aql, adamuhu, yani idraq tasdiqi. Okay, you've understood it, idraq, completely, and you've affirmed what it means. So if we understand part and whole, right, and we understand larger and smaller, then when I say it's necessarily, rationally, that a part be smaller than its whole, that you can understand. However, the Sufis can do some trickery. And the only way they do trickery is by us not focusing on the actual words being said. So, let me ask my star student at the front here, may Allah bless him and increase him and protect him. This is a part of a pizza. Yeah? What's this? The majority, I love you, mashallah. Allah increase you in tremendousness. Honestly, I'm not joking. That's brilliant. Because you know how many tullab al-ilm, students of sacred knowledge, get that wrong? Because I'm going to confuse you all now. If this pizza's not from a shop, I'm not going to name any names in Blackburn so we don't get boycotted or anything, but if it's from a shop that doesn't make very good pizzas, and there's so much dough in it that I can make it the size of the board, one slice, right? Some people, and trust me how many students of knowledge have made the mistake, they'll say, oh, now the part's larger than the whole. What if they misunderstood? Like he said, mashallah, this is not the whole. This is just a bigger part. Because it's not whole without that piece. So don't let things, because believe me, people do this trickery. Right? They mention in the books of Mantiq, I'm not a very good artist, but if I drew a horse, right? Let me pretend. Just so there's no fatwas on me from the muftis, I'll put no eyes on it, okay? So this is a horse. Look at my ears. Is that a horse? Right? Let's say I'm a brilliant drawer like Ridwan, right? Allah bless him, my friend Ridwan. That's a brilliant drawing of a horse. Pretend, okay? Just bear with me. And I said, Hada Hisan, this is a horse. And you were like, yeah, it's a horse. And then I said, every horse neighs, right? Wa kullu hisanin sahid. What's the natija, what's the result of that syllogism? This neighs. Is that going to neigh? It's not even a good picture. They say it was. If it was a good picture, it wouldn't neigh. That's sophistry. Where's the problem? In the first part, this is a horse. You see how they trick you? It's a picture of a horse. It's not an actual horse. And that's an easy example, but the news does that all the time. The kuffar in their writings and in their the enemies of Islam in their writings, they do that all the time. They'll trick you with their wording. But you have to be trained in the mind. This is for the ulama, but also for us. We have to train to see that sophistry. So when I said, this is a horse, you said, no, Dawood, precision is a picture of a horse. Because then when I said, and every horse neighs, and then the natija, the result of that would be, this neighs. Right? Okay? So, similarly, I've spread this massive slice of doughy pizza, so it's bigger than everything else that's rest. It's still not bigger than its whole. Why? Because that's not whole without it. So when I add it back to it, in its holistic, full pizza style, it's still smaller. You see what I mean? Of the whole. Because it's part of the whole. So that's an example of necessary rulings. Obviously an example is the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I did this first is to explain that this is not just related to our deen in terms of like, it's wajib for Allah this, it's wajib. This is rational rulings. And this is how we understand the world. With regards to normative rulings and with regards to rational rulings, and obviously here, in regards to shara', we go to the ulama and the fuqaha for these ones. Okay? So is that understood? So that's wajib. That's necessary, rationally necessary. Okay? Sorry, Mr. Horse. Off you go. Your board rubbers are rubbish. Okay? Impossible is the opposite. مَا لَا يَقْبَلَ الْوُجُودِ لِذَاتِهِ That which does not accept existence in and of itself. أَوْ مَا لَا يَتَصَوْفِ الْعَقْلِ وُجُودُهُ That which the sound rational mind cannot conceive of it existing. An example of that, a part being larger than the whole. A body, a physical body, being neither moving nor still. Or doing both at the same time. A body is either still or it's moving. A physical body. So an impossibility also, Sharikul Bari, a partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Possible ruling. What's rationally possible? All of us in our origin, all of this creation in its origin is rationally possible. In and of itself. If we don't look at the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He knew who's going to exist, He knows who's going to exist and who's not. But if we look at it specifically about me, if I said to you, for example, this is always my example I go to. If I said to you I'm a twin, right? If I said to you I'm a twin, is that possible or impossible? It's possible. Out of mercy to the world, Allah only made one of me, so I'm not a twin. But if I told you that I was a twin, you'd say that's possible. So my twin, in and of itself, as well as me, myself, and I, is what? Possible. Allah didn't have to make me. I'm not a necessary being in my origin. Nor am I an impossible being. Thankfully I'm here, right? I'm definitely here, yeah? Okay? So I'm possible. Remember this. This is so important when it comes to some of the confusions that enemies of Islam try and throw at us in regards to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So you're all now rational, inshallah, according to Imam Ghazali. Okay? Because Imam Ghazali says, if you don't know this ruling, you're not aqid. Okay? You're not rational. It's Imam Ghazali's opinion, Hujjat al-Islam. Okay? There are other opinions, don't worry. But we'll see why this is so important. Okay? So we're going to come back to the book, inshallah. If you can go to the next page, inshallah. Go back a bit. One more. Okay? So he says what? Every accountable soul, yani mukallaf, is obliged, yajib, legally, that one, right? By sacred law, legally, to know what is rationally necessary for him, rationally necessary. So we know what that means now. Okay? If there's any questions, I'll leave 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the end before we all make dua. And you can ask me questions. But if there are any questions, please ask. So he says what? To know what is necessary for him. This necessary. Okay? Rationally necessary. Most High. What is possible for him over here. And what is impossible for him. So now we know what we mean by impossible. And we say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's impossible for Allah. It's impossible for Allah to have a son. Okay? And they'll try and trick us. They'll say, okay, you say Allah is all-powerful, so what's wrong with him making himself a son? Right? So when we come to the sifa of power, when we come to the attribute of power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see how that's a non-question to start with. Okay? I'm saying this because all of you must attend all of this course. Please, not because it's me. You've noticed my jokes are awful. I'm the inventor of dad jokes, my children say. Okay? So we must understand this, and when we go through the attributes, it'll answer so many of those silly questions that are thrown at us by people that don't understand, that are not rational, right? Because they don't understand this. Okay? Okay, next one, please. Next one. So now we're going to talk about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I can get this rubber to work, mashallah. To do, won't it? Okay, so the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, again, this is for learning. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no limit. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, He in all, and His attributes are endless. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? غير محدود. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing like Him, and there's nothing like His attributes, which we'll discuss. But the ulama, in order for us to understand our Lord rationally, and taken from the Quran and Sunnah, they have given us 20 or 21 attributes that we must know. And under those, you'll see fit many of the names, these beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come under one of those 20 or 21 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, in many of the books, this is for the ulama amongst you, they'll say, مِمَّا يَجِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. From what is necessary for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they'll list the 20 or 21 attributes. Some people that try and attack Ahlul Sunnah, we're not here to refute anyone, I told you this is a basic class, but they'll say, oh, Ahlul Sunnah reduced the attributes of Allah to 20 or 21. No. That's a misunderstanding. That's not what we're doing here. When he says Allah's attributes, right, it's not hasr, right? It's not encompassing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. These are the ones we must know, okay? In terms of, with a rational proof. So the ulama, in regards to the attributes, they're going to split them into four categories. So we have trying to think, how do they translate nafsiyya? The self attribute, that's the word. Self attribute. Then we have negative attributes. Then we have affirmative attributes. Okay? And then we have Hamza. Yeah. No, not the ta'alluq. You got hukm ma'ani, hukm ma'nawiyya. Forgot the English? Me too. So, the affirmative, and then the ones that are linked. We'll talk, there's a different word for it, but I forgot the name off the top of my head right now. But ma'nawiyya in Arabic, okay? So, we'll see what that means linked. They're linked to this. So, for example, affirmative attributes, we'll come to that in a minute. Self-attribute is existence. Self-attribute is existence. Yani in Arabic, wujud. Oh, if you turn the page, sorry. Existence, wujud. Okay? Negative attributes are five. And they are beginninglessness. Tiny board. Okay? So that's one, that's two, three. Endlessness. I'm going to explain all of these through the book, okay? Endlessness. I need the order of the book, actually. What does it come with next in the book? Just so I do it in the same order as the book. Because the mandhumas, sometimes they switch it around. There you are. Dissimilarity to to originated, so dissimilarity, we'll just leave it at that. Dissimilarity to originated beings, I told you my writing's awful, I apologize, okay? And then the fourth one, but the fifth attribute in this book will be self-subsistence. I'm going to translate it though as needlessness, and I'll tell you why when we get to it. Needlessness. So Allah needs nothing, okay? And then the fifth one with the sixth attribute is oneness. Okay? So these attributes are what they call negative attributes. These are massively important for us to understand. Because when we come to the affirmative attributes, we're going to see that we're going to say, for example, let's start them. So we've got 6, 7, power. Right? Someone could say, well, I've got power. Right? Fir'aun, she claimed to be Rabb. Right? But when we look at it here, Allah's power has no beginning. Allah's power has no end. Allah's power is not similar to anything in creation. Allah's power needs nothing. You know, we might need protein shakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs nothing. Allah's power is one, meaning He has one attribute of power, and there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else has power like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was going to sneeze and it went away. Okay? So that's why these, in order to understand affirmative, because in Arabic or in the English language or in any language, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, is communicating with us in a language we can understand, because we'll see when we talk about the kalam of Allah. Oh, no, sorry. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we see that, I'm going to do that. When we see that, then Allah's speech is nothing like created speech. And we'll discuss that then. Okay? So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is talking to us in a manner that we understand. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Quran, He's talking to His creation so we can understand Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we know? We know creation. What do we know? We know kings. We know slaves. We know things, people that serve kings. We know obedience. We know disobedience. We know creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use language for us to understand, but we have to understand it through the lens of the negative attributes. Because when Allah subhanahu, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah descends in the last third of the night, yani Allah is not a physical body. What does descend mean? Allah is beginningless. Descending by its very wording means it's something that wasn't. If I descend now, I was there, now I'm here. Have I changed? Yeah, my position's changed. That's impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are saying to us, we must understand these negative attributes. Because we, why? What's the proof from Quran or Dawud? Laysa kamithlihi shay'. Allah says nothing is like Allah. And in future, inshallah, if you study a higher level of Aqidah, we'll discuss that that very ayah is a miracle in of itself in the utmost negation of anything being like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa ka, for the ulama, just so you ponder it. Laysa ka mithl. Laysa ka mithlihi shay'. Yani law kana lahu mithl, huwa laysa kadhalik. Subhanallah. That's the ghaya al-tanzih, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Back to us. So this is the importance of understanding these five attributes here. Beginninglessness. So Allah's power, because we understand the affirmative, the ulama, they say you put the glasses of negative attributes, sifat al-salbiyah, on in order to look at the affirmative attributes, sifat al-ma'ani. You must wear those glasses in order to look at here. So we have will, power, will. Then we have knowledge. Trying to remember the microphone. Then we have life. Then we have hearing. Then we have seeing or sight. Then we have what? Speech. Okay? Predicative attributes, that's the word I was looking for. So predicative, That's the English word, right? So, again, so you know, ma'na wiyya. These are ma'ani. These are salbiya and sifa and nafs. So, predicative attributes. So, what does that mean? That Allah has power. So then, He is, 14, powerful. Qadir. Okay? Allah has will. So then, He is willing. Murid. Allah has knowledge. So He's knowledgeable. Okay? Allah has life, therefore He's alive. Allah has hearing, therefore He hears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing, so therefore He sees. Allah has speech, therefore He speaks. Okay? Kawnuhu qadiran, kawnuhu muridan, kawnuhu aliman, kawnuhu ila akhirihi. Okay? So they're predicative. So what does that mean? That means that everybody that, if we take it away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have power. Okay? So by the fact that you have power, created power, that is a beginning and an end and needs lots of things, therefore you are powerful. Okay? So that's what they mean by these, the fourth category that the ulama talk about in our books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Okay? So that's what we'll be covering over the course of the next few lessons, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the first one is an important one, and it's called existence. To get one of those headsets, isn't it? Okay, it's called existence. Let's use this one. So, what does he say? So Imam Bajuri, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, existence is necessary for him. Existence is necessary for him. So we all understand what necessary means now. That which does not accept non-existence in and of itself, a simple definition. Okay? And we talked about what that means. So, when we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He exists, we're saying He's necessarily existent. What was the definition that I said? مَا لَا يَقْبَلَ الْعَدَمْ لِذَاتِهِ. So, we're going to give a basic proof today. A basic proof. The most basic proof. Why? To take ourselves out of sin. Okay, because if the ulama say, if we don't know a basic rational proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, then we are sinful. So the most basic of proof will suffice. But trust me, the ulama have got whole books that are voluminous just on proving the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, there are many, many deep diving, mashallah, like just so much. The ulama, may Allah give us tawfiq to read their books. So, why is this important to understand necessary rationally? That which does not accept non-existence in and of itself. So if some confused non-Muslim comes to you and says, if Allah is all-powerful, can He take Himself out of existence? And they ask these questions. If He's all-powerful, can He commit suicide? A'udhu billah. What we say, He's wajibul wujud. He's necessarily existent, meaning He cannot go out of existence. It's impossible rationally for Allah to go out of existence. Okay? So the ulama, he says the proof for that is the existence of creation. Right? Because what? A simple proof though. This is a basic proof. Everything that changes has a beginning. This is a proof. Everything that changes has a beginning. Right? Because it was like something, Then it wasn't, it was like something else. So by necessity, it must have a beginning. If I said to you, for example, the famous example they give in the books, they don't use dominoes, but they use a similar idea. Okay? I'm destroying the microphones as I'm going. If we line up dominoes, and the last domino in the rally, domino rally, who's old enough to remember those things? All right. In order for that one to fall, it must have the one before it to fall in order to knock it over. Right? You get the concept. If we say that that last domino represents creation, right? Let's, for example, that last domino represents this world. In order for it to come into, then it's falling means it's come into existence. There must be something before it. And before it, and before it, and before it, and before it. So that one's waiting for the one before it. That one's waiting for the one before it. That one's waiting for the one before it. And we said there's no beginning. We said there's no beginning. Infinite backwards. التسلسل في الماضي. Infinitely backwards. It continues and continues. Will this last domino that represents coming into creation, into existence, will it fall? There's no beginning. We're waiting for the first one, but they're saying there's no first. So will it fall? Will it fall? Where have you gone? Are you with me? Come on, my star student. I need you with me. Will it fall, Bilal? It's not going to fall. However, we see creation, so there must have been something that brought it into existence. There must have something that caused an effect on it in order for it to come into existence. Okay, so that's what they call butlan at-tasalsul bil-madi. Right? That's what they call in Arabic for the ulama, that destroying or negating that infinite regress. Some of the ulama, they use the plants as an example. Some modern day people have used some other things as an example. We'll stick to dominoes for today. Okay? So, and then we have butlan ad-dawr. Yani, negating circular reasoning. So you can either have dawr of the world created itself, right? So imagine, you've got a non-existent thing, and that non-existent thing caused an effect for its existence to come into existence. If you explain it like that, everybody's like, what? Huh? It doesn't make sense. Obviously, because it's impossible rationally. Or you could use two things. So A and B. So A doesn't exist and B doesn't exist. So non-existent A, in order to come into existence, is reliant on non-existent B to bring it into existence. And non-existent B that doesn't exist is reliant on non-existent A to bring it into existence. And they did. That's what they claim. And that's what happened. It's rationally impossible for that to happen. And then the final proof, and again, whole chapters are written on what I'm saying in a few words, okay? So don't think it's this simple. I'm just trying to keep it to our level for today. Then you have butlan rujhan bidun murajjih, that it just came about. It just did, right? It just did. There was no outside effect, there was no inside effect, it just came into existence with no effect whatsoever. That's also impossible, right? Like they try and tell us now, the Big Bang. Okay, we don't believe in the Big Bang, but nor do we disbelieve in the Big Bang. Someone can argue from the ayah, right? What's the ayah? Fataqa. Fataqnahu. What's the ayah? Where's the hufadah? Qari sahab? Fataqnahu. Anyway. كان رتقا ها ففا ايوه جزاك الله خيرا that ayah, what he said. Okay, I forgot the ayah off the top of my head right now. It's been a long fast today, right? MashaAllah. Allah give me tawfiq to memorize the whole Quran, ya Rab. Okay, so we don't believe in it, nor do we affirm it. We don't say yes Big Bang, it's in the Quran, and use this ayah as a proof. Because they might change their minds next week, and then we're like, well, the Quran doesn't actually mean that. But they say Big Bang happened. Now they say it, some of them, right? Okay, what caused the bang? They'll say, oh, it just happened. That doesn't make sense. They say, we don't know yet. So the honest ones will say, we don't know yet. The honest ones will say, we don't know yet. We know. If the Big Bang's true, Allah caused it. Because He's the cause, without a cause, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existing for the mutakallim, for the people of Aqidah, is to look at the world and say, this whole world indicates that there is a creator. So I go back to my point. Everything that changes has a beginning. The world changes, second qadiyah. Therefore, what's the natija? What's the result of that syllogism? The world has a beginning. Okay? Let's use a second syllogism now. Okay? Everything that changes has a beginning. The world changes, therefore the world has a beginning. Everything that has a beginning must have something to bring it into existence. Okay? Because it has a beginning. So it didn't exist. It was preceded by non-existence. So everything that's preceded by non-existence needs something to bring it into existence. The world is preceded by non-existence. It has a beginning. Therefore, the world needs a creator. We call that creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That comes to shara'. Because Allah told us His name. So we don't argue if someone calls Him Jehovah, someone calls Him Yahweh, someone calls Him God. We don't argue about that. That's secondary. When I first became Muslim all those years ago, in the old masjid over there, for the first week or so, I found it odd saying, Ya Allah. Because I wasn't used to it. I'd be like, oh, my creator. But then everybody says Allah. And it becomes, now I can't say God. It feels odd to say God if I'm talking to my Allah. Because He's my Allah. So we don't argue on that point. The Lord, Allah told us His name is Allah. But the important thing is that we know that He exists, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the proof of His existence. A basic proof. This world is a proof that it exists. That's a rational proof that takes us out of sin. How is it a proof? I've just gone into a little bit of detail. That's beyond what the ulama say is necessary. Unless someone falls into shubha. They fall into some doubtful matters because they're in university, in school, or their favorite friend in their pocket that's not their friend gives them all this filth and doubt and YouTube shorts that give you all kinds of nonsense and TikTok and DuckTik and all the other ones that I don't know what's available. Allah protect us all and our families and our children to the day of Qiyamah. He says the opposite is non-existence. So Allah to be non-existent is rationally, I'm pointing at it, it's not there anymore, but it's rationally impossible. Okay? It's rationally impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not exist. Okay? So that's dealt with the first category of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the self attribute, which is what they call sifa nafsiyya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And when we talk, and don't think that after this course you're going to be the best debater. I don't want to see any of you set up YouTube channels challenging the atheists to debates or going to universities and say, I challenge your great professor. I don't want to see any of that from any of you, okay? Inshallah. But when you do in the course of your da'wah, and if you're here, the only reason you're allowed to be here is da'wah, Darul Harb, okay? Then you... When they say they don't believe in God, as I said yesterday, ask them, number one, who is God that you don't believe in? Because we might not believe in that also. Second question to ask them, are you saying it's rationally impossible for there to be a God? Or are you saying that it's possible but you don't believe? There you've got a ground to work on in your da'wah. Because most of them will say it's possible but I don't believe. And it's usually emotion that makes them not believe. Oh, there's pain and there's suffering in the world. Children die. You know, rabbits eat cockroaches. And I really like cockroaches. For example, you get all kinds of crazy stuff. Right? But if you base it on something like, okay, you say it's possible that there's a God, but you've gone, and a possible thing means it's equal in its origin. You've tipped the scales to non-existence. Okay, let's talk about that. Why don't you believe in God? For example, okay? But again, no YouTube channels, okay? We agree? So that's a basic proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence. Okay? And then tomorrow we'll start with, and we'll finish, don't worry, tomorrow. I told you, today is the most intense lesson that we're going to do. Everything else now is super, super, tremendously easy. Okay? Inshallah. Today, because we had to give ourselves an intellect, right? According to Imam Ghazali, right? We had to train it a little bit. It was a little bit intense, maybe, for some. For others, it was a piece of cake. Right? MashaAllah, shukbillah. Okay? But tomorrow, it will, not tomorrow, next week, next Monday, inshallah, then we'll continue with the negative attributes. If you don't come, I'm hunting you. Okay? I'm a white boy from Livesey. Okay? You know Livesey, right? I'll bring my old crew and we'll take our masjid back. I'm only joking. Okay? But come, these are so important. The negative attributes are so important. Okay, it really helps us to understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more what does the kalimat of tawheed start with? La ilaha. There is no God. So we're telling you who He isn't. What's impossible for Him. And then, illallah. And then we'll talk about who He is subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions related to the topic? Again, I still don't. I haven't learned from yesterday what the name of the dog of Ahlul Kahf is. So... any questions? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana taqabbal minna bi asrari surat al-Fatiha. عفوا منكم